1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Father, we thank You this morning for the Holy Scriptures, the inspired Word of God. We pray that the author, the Holy Spirit, might open our minds and hearts to the instruction of Thy Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic this morning is enjoying God's children. I suppose the first thing we need to clarify is who are God's children. We're not talking here about God's creation. All men, of course, are creatures of God. All men belong to God's creation. However, all men are not children of God. Only those are children of God who have been born into the family of God. And this is made very clear to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where John tells us, as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the children of God. And then he explains just how this happens. He says, which were born not of the will of the flesh. In other words, I just do not decide myself that I am going to make myself a child of God. I can't do that. Which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Someone just cannot come to me and put his hand on me and say, I now pronounce you a child of God. That's not possible. A man, some other man, cannot make me a child of God. That's not his prerogative. And so John says, that isn't how the new birth comes about, because they were born not either of these ways, nor of blood. In other words, I am not a child of God because I happen to be born of parents who were children of God. In other words, this is not passed on from father to son. And so John says this matter of being a member of God's family, being a child of God. You're not born into it physically. You cannot just decide that you're going to do it yourself. Some other man cannot decide it for you. It is which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so this is a birth that is of God. And God, by His Spirit, causes us to be born into His family. And so this then is what it means to be a child of God, to be born into God's family. And this is indicated, as John says, by as many as received Him. The indication of that birth is reception of Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. And so this morning, the first thing to assure ourselves is, am I a child of God? Have I been born into God's family? And if not, am I willing this morning to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord? Am I willing to recognize that I have sinned against God and that I need Jesus Christ to save me from my sin? And this is how we then enter into this relationship of being a child of God, born into God's family. And so John here then, talking to Christians, talking to those who are God's children, tells us in these two verses how we can enjoy God's children. Now, there's a little poem I heard someplace. I don't remember where now. I don't know the author. If anybody does know who the author is, but it went something like this: to live above with the saints in love will be everlasting glory, but to live below with the saints we know is quite another story. And the idea is that sometimes it is not an enjoyable experience to be around God's children. This may be true. However, this is not God's plan. This is not God's intention. God intends that our fellow Christians be to us a source of constant delight. And He has made this possible. In fact, he has set the example for us. And as we read the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 31, we have the Son, the Father and the Son speaking to each other, God the Father and God the Son. And regarding God the Son, the statement is made, he says, "My delights." It's actually plural. My delights. And so it's not just a one-time occasion. Not just a one-time occasion, he says, once in a while, but it's in the plural. My delights. This is something that is constant. My delights are the sons of men. And there are two words used for men in Scripture, and this one is the word Adam, which I think is especially significant because we are Adam's race and we have Adam's fallen nature, which we very often express. And so the statement here is, I am constantly delighting in the sons of Adam in spite of this constant revelation, this constant practice of this fallen nature. And so the Son, God the Son, says, I delight in the sons of men, the sons of Adam. Now, he does not delight in the sons of Adam because of their perfection. He delights in us in spite of our imperfections, and he is able to do this because of his love for us. So here we find that God shows in this portion of Scripture how to do what he already does. He shows us how our fellow Christians can be a constant delight to us just as they are to him. And so let's look at these two verses. First of all, we have in verse 2, John tells us of the assurance that we must have. This is something we really must have. And he says, by this we know that we love the children of God. He says, we need this assurance. The assurance that we need is that we love the children of God. We need to know this. Now notice he does not say brethren. He says, does not say we need to know that we love the brethren. And I believe this is for a very specific purpose. He says we need to know that we love the children of God, not the brethren, because the children of God are those who are born into the family of God. And the word, the Greek word here, tekna, refers to physical birth. Referring here then to the fact that we are born into God's family, not physically of course, but the idea that we are members of his family by the new birth, rather than calling us sons of God, which would be a legal relationship. And so this is a family relationship. And we love the children of God. We know this not from the standpoint that they are brethren, but from the standpoint that they are children of God. And so the implication is we love the children of God not so much because of what they are to us, but rather because of what they are to him. In other words, we know in our earthly families how brothers and sisters like to fight. And it seems like this seems to carry over into spiritual families, and brethren have a temptation to fight. And so John says, let's look at one another, not so much from the standpoint of brethren, but from the standpoint of that he is a child of my Heavenly Father. And my Heavenly Father loves him greatly. That means then that my ability to love him flows from his relationship to God more so than from his relationship to me. I love him because of the great love that God has for him. Now we know in the Old Testament that Israel was a stiff-necked people. We've seen this in our studies in Deuteronomy. But God loved them for Abraham's sake. And so also we love Christians, even though sometimes they might be somewhat obnoxious. We love them for the Father's sake. We love them because they belong to God. We love them not because they are perfect. We love them because they belong to God. Now, it's true, we find that some tend to be legalistic, and this gets to be quite obnoxious. We find a Christian all tied up in his legalism, and when he's all tied up in his legalism, he tends to judge us and condemn us. And we don't like to be judged and condemned, and our temptation is to react. But we love him because of what he means to God. Some are indifferent, and we just wish they would get on the ball and that they would be enthusiastic like we are, and they would love God like we do, and they would serve God like we're trying to serve him, and we wish we could put a bomb under them, and it tends to cause us not to love them. But even though they're indifferent, we love them because of what they mean to the Father. The Father loves them, and so we love them. Some of them tend to be holier than thou. They're working hard and serving God hard and loving God with all their hearts, and before you know it, they just think they're the world's greatest, and they think that we're the world's worst because we aren't doing what they're doing. And the tendency then is to lack love, not to love them like we ought to love them. And God says the secret for loving them is considering what they are to the Father, what they are to God. So our love for Christians is not based upon unstable human virtues, nor is it diminished by human weaknesses, rather by what they are to God. Some people we find, oh, I can really love these brethren. I can love him because he loves me. He thinks I'm great, and so of course I think he's great. Or he's of my particular doctrinal persuasion, and he pushes what I like to push, or he increases my business. There are many, many reasons we could find for loving. And so John says, these are not true bases for loving. We can't love them because of what they are, nor have lack of love for them because of what they aren't. We look at what they mean to God, and we see what they mean to God, and that's the reason then why we love them. And so this is the assurance that we must have. We love them because they belong to God. And John says we need to know that we love them. We need to have this assurance. And so there's a specific way that we gain this assurance. And John says then, explains how this is done. He says how we gain this assurance. By this we know that we love the children of God. In other words, by this then refers to what he's going to tell us. When we love God and keep his commandments. And the word there, when, actually means whenever. Whenever we are loving God and keeping his commandments, we know then that we are loving the children of God. That's the assurance that we have. Whenever we are loving God, we know that we are loving the children of God. This is a natural consequence. And so that means that what we are working on, whenever we're loving God, we know that we're loving the children of God. That means instead of working at loving the children of God, we work at loving God. Because loving the children of God is a consequence. It's a result of that. So this is what we work on. We work on loving God. But John also adds, and keeping his commandments. Now the word keep there means to attend to carefully. Some documents have the word do, and that would fit in as well. Do what he says. And so John says, now loving God really is keeping his commandments, to guard, preserve, or attend to carefully. Or it means to do exactly what he says. And John, in his gospel, quotes the Lord Jesus as saying, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And so this then is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, as John continues to tell us then in verse 3. This is what it really means to love God. To really love God means to keep his commandments. So we boil it down one more step. To love our brethren, to really know that we love our brethren, we work at loving God. And to love God means to keep His commandments. And so rather than working at trying to love God, we work at keeping His commandments. And so the basic thing then that John says we need to set our sights toward is the keeping of His commandments. Now, to our own natural hearts, right away this sounds difficult. Oh, keeping His commandments. That must be something very, very difficult. Just think of all the commandments of Scripture and how do you keep all of these things. This must be very difficult. This would be hard. This would be burdensome. This would make me miserable. And John says, no, on the contrary. He says, I'm going to tell you what this will mean to you. This will mean, first of all, a very enjoyable activity. Because, he says, His commandments are not grievous. And the word grievous there means heavy or stern or burdensome. And John says, this will not be a burden to you because His commandments are not burdensome. And Jesus Himself said in Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, men's commandments are burdensome. We read in Scripture regarding the Pharisees. For example, in Matthew, that should be 23, Matthew 23:4, where it was said, the Lord Jesus said regarding the Pharisees, is they tend to put upon you heavy burdens. They won't touch them themselves. They won't do these things themselves. But they want to put upon you heavy burdens. And those burdens were finite interpretations of Old Testament Scripture. And they would pick things out to make heavy burdens for the people. And in the book of Acts, chapter 15 and verse 10, the council there at Jerusalem, they were reminded that they should not fall back into legalism. He said, don't you remember how these heavy burdens were placed upon us that we couldn't bear? And so we want to avoid that kind of thing. And men can place heavy burdens upon us. But God's commandments are not burdensome. Now, God's way then is not a burden. It's not heavy. It's not grievous. And the reason is that God makes provision for us. And if we open ourselves to God's provision, we find that His commandments are a delight. In Romans chapter 5, the first five verses talks about steps of Christian growth and how we proceed in our Christian lives from one step to another of Christian growth. And then verse 5, Paul tells us the secret of all of this. In verse 5, he tells us that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so Paul says, these steps of Christian growth could seem burdensome, except for the fact that God has made provision. And he says, He has placed in your hearts this hope of Christ-likeness that He puts in the heart of the believer. The believer wants to be like Christ. And He's placed this hope in your heart of being like Christ. And He does not intend that you be ashamed. In other words, that you be let down in this hope. And the way He has provided so that you will not be let down in this hope of Christ-likeness that He's provided for you is that He has shed abroad in your hearts the Holy Spirit. And so the shedding abroad of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, then he says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and this makes possible this growth in Christ-likeness. And so this is the way it's done. And so if I realize how God does this, then His commandments are not a burden. Because whatever He tells me, He says, this is what I want of you. This is what I want you to do. Then that to me becomes a hope. I say, Lord, I hope I can do that. different kind of hope than what he means. His hope is assurance. And he says, I want to assure you that this is possible to you, that you will not be disappointed in what I'm telling you to do, because I'm shedding my love abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And my love shed abroad in your heart is going to enable you to do what I have here put before you as a hope. The same thing in 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Spirit of God gives liberty. Now, what is this liberty that the Spirit of God gives? The Spirit of God gives liberty not to go off in our own ways and fall into sin and displease God. The liberty of the Spirit of God is the ability to please God. Then there's a liberty to do what God tells us to do. In Psalm 110, verse 3, the psalmist says, Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In other words, God's power is what gives us the ability and desire to do the will of God. In Psalm 119, verse 24, David says, Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. David says, these commandments are not burdensome. These are a delight to me. In fact, it's only the rebellious who claim that the ways of the Lord are not equal. That's an indication of rebellion. But in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, we read that to the godly, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so the godly man looks at the scriptures and says, this is pure delight to fulfill these wonderful things that God here instructs me. And so that means if what I am doing is not pure delight, then either I'm not doing his commandments, maybe I've worked up some commandments of my own, or maybe I've been listening to some commandments of men. Either I'm not doing his commandments, because his commandments are not burdensome, or else I am not motivated by his love. Maybe I'm trying to stir this up myself and do it myself, and not allowing his love to fill me by his Holy Spirit to enable me to do this. Because the Spirit of God fulfilling in us the commandment of God is a delightful way to live. And so there are, it is an enjoyable activity, and there are enjoyable results of this activity. And John says one of the most beautiful results is that we then know that we're loving God. As we are keeping his commandments, as we take his commandments, not those of men, and as the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit enables us to fulfill those commandments, it gives us a real assurance in our hearts that we love God. A real knowledge. I know that I love God. Then the second thing it gives is an assurance of loving the children of God. Because as the Holy Spirit sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts to fulfill the commandments of God in our lives, this results in doing that which is pleasing to God in our relationship to the children of God. And so it enables us to minister to the children of God. And as we minister to the children of God, it gives us a tremendous assurance in our hearts of our love for the children of God as God ministers to them through us. And so we know that we love the children of God because we love God and keep his commandments. Obedience to God then will bring benefit to the children of God and assure us of love for them. And so we might say that the procedure, if we were to put it on a little picture here, the procedure would be this. First of all, we look into Scripture. Our first responsibility is we go to Scripture and we find out what are the ways of God. What are the principles of Scripture that God wants me to fulfill in my life? And as we find those principles of Scripture, as God opens up his word and says, this is what I want you to do, our response then is, do it, Lord. And then we realize we can't do it. We say, Lord, thank you for showing this to me. I ask you to do it. Then the second step of this, the second step is that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And so God pours out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in response to our seeing the command in the Word and telling Him we want Him to do it. Then the third aspect is that then enables us to minister to the brethren. As God's love flows through us, enabling us to minister to God's children then become to us a pure delight because we see God meeting their needs through us, and we become channels. And that gets to be tremendously exciting, to see God minister to His children through you. And as He does that, God's child becomes a part of your ministry, and there is developed in your heart a very special affection for Him. And so God says, this is the way that God's children become very exciting to you. It's a way in which you're able to enjoy the children of God. Now, if on the contrary, I leave God out of this picture, and I just look at Him as my brother, and I expect Him to be a spiritual Christian, like I think I am, and I expect Him to do what I think He ought to do, and minister to me like I think He ought to minister, and be everything that I think He ought to be, then I'm going to be very disappointed. Because He probably will not minister to me in every way I think He ought to. He probably will not be in His life everything I think He ought to be. And He will disappoint me greatly. You know, sometimes pastors fall into this. And sometimes pastors will leave a church because the people of the church are not meeting his expectations. And he becomes discouraged with them, disappointed in them. And he'll leave. Actually, he has not been able to enjoy the children of God because he has not been loving God and keeping His commandments. And so, when we expect God's children to fit our mold, they become very obnoxious to us. And then we begin to see all kinds of things wrong with them, and our love for them diminishes. The delightful life is allowing the Spirit of God to fulfill in me the Word of God and thus minister to the children of God and meet their needs. And so we can only experience a truly loving relationship to the children of God as we carefully search out and fulfill the principles of the Word of God in our lives. And when I disobey the Word of God, I can be sure that the children of God are going to become very obnoxious to me. Because the only way I can delight in the children of God is by loving God and keeping His commandments. As I really then begin to enjoy other Christians when I see how God is able to love them through me. As I get into God's Word, fulfill it in my life, God uses me then to minister to them, and they become to me a very special delight. Then I can say with the Lord Jesus, and my delight are the children of men. Father, we thank You this morning that You have made it possible for us to become Your children. We thank You, Lord, that You've made it possible to enter into Your family by faith in Jesus Christ. We praise You for this. And then, Father, we thank You. You have also made it possible for us to really enjoy one another. Really enjoy those who are also children of God. We confess, Father, that at times this has not been so. And as we look back, we recognize that the reason was because we were not fulfilling Your commandments for our own lives. We praise You that as we love you and keep your commandments. Then we have a very special assurance of love for the children of God, and find that those who otherwise we feel we probably couldn't enjoy till we got to heaven, right now, day by day, can be to us a source of constant delight. We thank you for this marvelous provision. In Jesus' name, amen.